I look high, I look low, I'm looking everywhere I go, looking for a home in the heart of the country.
Forget the language of your grandparents. It is dead. Forget their teaching. They are ignorant and ungodly. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Indians are not clean. A quote from Linda Lagarde Grover's The Sky Watched, Poems of Ojibwa Lives. It's part of a powerful exhibit at the Edge Center for the Arts in Big Fork, entitled First They Cut Your Hair, Remembering Indian Boarding Schools. The exhibit features works of 7 visual artists and the writings of 2 authors. They come from all over the country and represent a number of different tribes. The exhibit strikingly examines the impact the Indian boarding schools had on the young people who were generally forced to attend them. I went up to see the exhibit on a rainy September Saturday. Now briefly, Indian boarding schools flourished in this country in the late 19th and early 20th centuries and continued into the 1960s and 70s. Often run by religious organizations, their stated goal was to assimilate the young Native Americans into the Euro-American culture. In fact, it was a form of cultural genocide that was often harshly administered and abusive to the children. The impact of this system and its effects on the young people came out in both subtle and direct ways as you reflect on the images and words of the exhibit. Some of the more subtle images included a series of mixed media pieces by Laura Youngbird that focused on a dress. The idea originated from photographs of her grandmother in her first communion dress, in which her grandmother had scratched out her face. One of the more direct is a piece called Cultural Crucifixion by Mille Lacs Band member Steve Primo, which depicts a Native American hanging from a cross, labeled boarding school, and being tormented by a priest. Now, the exhibit as a whole is very thought-provoking. For me, it brought back vivid memories of Margaret. Margaret was an Ojibwa woman in her 70s who worked for me when I managed a historic site in Wisconsin in the 1980s. The site attempted to tell the story of the early 19th century fur trade from both European and Native American perspectives, and Margaret was one of the interpreters who worked for me. Margaret was a kind and gentle woman who was immensely proud of her heritage. She was a fantastic teacher of Native skills, traditions, and arts, and a very good mentor to young people. She was empathetic to everyone. One day Margaret told me that as a young child she had been terrified of white people, because whenever one would come around, her parents would hide her, her brothers, sisters, and other children in the woods so that the white man could not take them away. In her mind, the white man became a kind of boogeyman, with the terrifying exception that this boogeyman was all too real. One day when she was around 10, her parents came to her and told her they were going to send her to the white man's boarding school. They didn't really want to do it, but there were many things happening that required someone they trusted to be able to read, write, and speak English well, and they chose her. Now, they chose her not because she was the oldest or the youngest, but because they believed her to be the strongest. But try to imagine, you're 10 years old, being sent off to live with what you fear the most, to be taught to be ashamed of what you are, of your family, and of your traditions. It was a terrifying and painful experience for Margaret. And initially, she came out of it feeling not completely comfortable nor accepted in either world. But Margaret's parents were right. She was strong. She came through the experience intact. She no longer feared white people, and she did become her family's interpreter and was a strong advocate of their rights. Margaret also emerged as a fierce guardian and teacher of her native history, traditions, religion, and culture. Knowing Margaret and her story, I'm sure, made this exhibit more personal and impactful for me. But no matter how you look at it, the exhibit tells a powerful story that needs to be remembered, pondered, and understood. The First They Cut Your Hair exhibit runs through the end of September at the Edge Center for the Arts in Big Fork.
From the Indian Reservation to the governmental school, well, they're going to educate me to the white man's golden rule, and I'm learning very quickly, for I've learned to be ashamed, and I come when they call Billy, though I've got an Indian name.
For Northern Community Radio, I'm Grant Frazier, and this is Close to Home.
Indian drums that you can hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting